Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Ashram and Andaroy, out of all glorious activities, which is the most glorious? Ramananda Roy replied, that person who is reputed to be a devotee of the Lord enjoys the utmost fame and glory. Isn't it let's see what the purport says, but it's a little interesting that Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtigana, out of all activities, but the answer talks about persons, not activities. So it says, out of activities, which are the most glorious? And the answer is that person who is the devotee of Krishna. Okay. One page, two pages, three pages altogether. Are we okay for that? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the greatest reputation a living being can have is to be a devotee of Krishna and to act in Krishna consciousness. In the material world, everyone is trying to be famous by accumulating a large bank balance or material opulence. There is a steady competition amongst the karmis attempting to advance in a wealthy society. The whole world is turning in accordance with that competitive mood. But this kind of name and fame is temporary, for it lasts only as long as the temporary material body exists. One may be famous as a Brahmagyani, an impersonalist scholar, or one may become a materially opulent person. In either case, such reputations are inferior to the reputation of Krishna's devotee. In the Garuda Purana, it says, Kalo Bhagavatam Nama Durlabham Naiva Labhyate Brahma Rudra Padot Krishnam Guruna Katitam Nama. In this age of Kali, the fame of one who is known as a great devotee is very rare. However, such a position is superior to that of the great demigods like Brahma and Mahadev. This is the opinion of all spiritual masters. Interesting. In the Itihasa Samuchaya, Narada tells Pundarik, Janmantara Sahasreshu Yasya Syad Buhri Idrishi Dasoham Vasudevasya Sarva Lokan Samudharet. After many, many births, when a person realizes that he is the eternal servant of Vasudev, he can deliver all the worlds. In the Adipurana, in a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, it is said, Bhaktanam anugacchanti muktaya shrutibhirsaha. The most exalted position of liberation is given by Vedic knowledge. Everyone follows in the footsteps of the devotee. Similarly, in Brihannaradiya Purana, it is further stated, Adyapi cha muni shrestha brahmadya api devataha. Until now, even the great demigods like Brahma and Lord Shiva did not know the influence of a devotee. The Garuda Purana similarly states, Brahmanam sahasrebya shastra yaji visishyate shatra yaji sahasrebya sarva vedanta paraga sarva vedanta vitkotya vishnu bhakto visishyate vaishnavanam sahasrebya ekanta eku visishyate. It is said that out of thousands of brahmanas, one is qualified to perform sacrifices. And out of many thousands of such qualified Brahmins, expert in sacrificial offerings, one learned Brahmin may have passed beyond all Vedic knowledge. He is considered the best amongst all these Brahmanas. And yet out of thousands of such Brahmanas who have surpassed Vedic knowledge, one person may be a Vishnu Bhakta, and he is most famous. Out of many thousands of such Vaishnavas, one who is completely fixed in the service of Lord Krishna is most famous. Indeed, a person who is completely devoted to the service of the Lord certainly returns home back to Godhead. There is also the following statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrutasya Punksang Suchir Shramaya Nanv Anjasa Shuribir Iditorita Tat Tad Guna gunanu shravanam mukunda padaravindam hridayeshu jisham. After much hard labor, a person highly learned in Vedic literatures certainly becomes very famous. However, one who is always hearing and chanting the glories of the lotus feet of Mukunda within his heart is certainly superior. In the Narada of Yuhastava, it is said, Naham brahmapi bhuyasam tvad bhakti rahito hare tvai bhaktastato kito pi bhuyasam janma janmasu. I do not aspire to take birth as a Brahma if that Brahma is not a devotee of the Lord. I shall be satisfied simply to take birth as an insect if I am given a chance to remain in the house of a devotee. There are many similar verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, especially 3.25.38, 4.24.29, 4.31.22, 7.9.24, and 10.14.30. It was Lord Shiva who said, I do not know the truth about Krishna, but a devotee of Lord Krishna knows all the truth. Out of all the devotees of Lord Krishna, Prahlad is the greatest. Above Prahlad, the Pandavas are supposedly more advanced. Above the Pandavas are the members of the Janu dynasty, who are even more advanced. In the Janu dynasty, Uttava is the furthest advanced, and above Uttava are the damsels of Brajadam, the gopis themselves. In the Brihad Vamana Purana, Lord Brahma tells Bhrigu, Shasti Varsha Sahasrani Maya Taptam Tapapura Ananda Gopa Vrajastrinam Pada Renupa Labhyate. I underwent meditation and austerities for 60,000 years just to understand the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis. Still, I could not understand it. To say nothing of me, even Lord Shiva, Lord Shesha, and the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, could not understand it. In the Adi Purana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself says, Natata me priyatamo brahma rudrascha partiva natcha lakshmir nachatmacha yata gopi jano mama. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the goddess of fortune, even my own self, are not as dear to me as the gopis. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the topmost. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are the most exalted servitors of Srimati Radharani and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who adhere to their service are known as Rupanuga devotees. The Chaitanya Charitamrita gives the following statement about Srila Rupa Goswami. Astam vairagya kotir bhavatu samadhamma kshantir maitriyadi kotis tatvanu dhyana kotir bhavatu Bhavatu va Vaishnavi Bhakti Koti. Kotyamso pi asyanasya tad api guna ganoyas tavasidha aste. Srimat Chaitanya Chandra priya charananakya jyotir amodabhajam. This is not a direct quote. I don't know if there's a quote. The qualities of one engaged in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such as reputation, austerities, penances, and knowledge, are not to be compared to the good qualities of others, such as the perfection of a devotee always engaged in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivashari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I think devotees know the background to this discussion that's taking place. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has, on the plea of finding his brother, he's gone to a tour of India, Brother Vishwarup. And so he left Jagannath Puri and is going south, and he comes to this big river, which is called the Godavari River. So he comes to the eastern side Well, actually, yeah, eastern side. And this is just by the Bay of Bengal. So it branches off into many different tributaries there as it empties into the bay. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and he crosses over to the other side. Boat, it's a big river, very big river. And on the other side, there are different holy places over here, and he comes to this one particular, it's actually an island. And at that island, it's a bathing ghat. Ramananda Roy, who's now the governor of the southern portion of Maharaj Prataparudra's kingdom. And it's a very important post because beyond the border of that kingdom is a Vaishnav king who is trying to unseat Maharaj Prataparudra. So he's got Vaishnav enemies on the south, and then he's got, of course, what's his name? Nawab Hussain Shah to the north, who's always trying to cross the Ganga. So the kingdom goes up to the river, Ganges River, and of course on the other side is Bengal, and he's controlling Bengal. So Nawab Hussain Shah, in Sanatana Goswami's words, wants to give trouble to Lord Jagannath. And so he's constantly moving from one place to the other. Sometimes he's fighting here, and he's always victorious, and he's fighting there. And we don't read about any of that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We just read about his interaction with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which becomes very, very successful. He gets the mercy of the Lord's lotus feet. So he comes, and he's coming, as it's described, with many Brahmins. So he's performing some kind of specific ritualistic bath that he's going to take. It's not like his daily performance. This is something sort of special. And then he sees Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they've already met. They've had a very, very deep exchange. Ramananda goes back to his home. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finds a Brahmin, stays at the house of a Brahmin, takes prasadam there. And whether this is the same evening or another evening, because they're having these constant meetings, morning and evening, for some period of time. And then Lord Chaitanya tells Ramananda Roy, I want you to leave your post, big thing, and come and stay with me in Puri when I return, which is going to be, you know, somewhere close to 2 years, a year and a half. And so Ramananda Roy will do that. Obviously, Maharaj Prataparudra is not very happy because then you have to find someone else who's very... very knowledgeable and very very capable of keeping his enemies at bay over there to the south. And yes. And so now we get benefit of some of the questions and answers. Obviously, there was a lot more going on. The first set of questions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking is, tell me what is, you know, the sadhya, what is perfection, and what is the sadhan, the means to get it. And Ramananda Roy goes through a sequence of answers which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu keeps rejecting until he comes to sthane, sthita, shutigatan, tanuman, manobir, in other words, hearing about Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya says, okay, this is good, but there must be more, and there's more, and there's more. And then, you know, Ramananda Roy gives so much more that Lord Chaitanya finally puts his hand over his mouth and he says, don't talk about that, and he's talking about the ecstasies of separation. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, number one, looking for what kind of devotees are there in India. He's also looking to actually reclaim some of his associates, and Ramananda Roy is the chief among those. And there'll be another few disciples of Madhavendra Puri who's going to meet, and he's also asking them to come to Puri. Lord Chaitanya wants to surround himself with good association and not just be by himself. Of course, there's already so many devotees from Bengal who are there. These are now not Bengali devotees. There are other Vaishnavas. And so this exchange is taking place. And now in the evening time, Lord Chaitanya is asking these questions. And as we read, it's very interesting that the answer doesn't really match the question. He says, what's the most glorious activities? And the answer is talking about that Vaishnavas are the most glorious, which really means that becoming a Vaishnava is the most glorious activity. We have experience of becoming Vaishnavas, where we've come to the Krishna consciousness movement, maybe at different costs. Some people came very early in their years. They abandoned everything, and they just left their school, their parents, their whatever connections they may have had, friends and so on, and they just came to the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Out of those circumstances, sometimes the relatives and so on became very upset. Others came with the blessings of their seniors, which is a more rare thing. And others came, maybe they didn't come to become what we call full-time devotees, but they also took up Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's practice of chanting and hearing. So they actually became Vaishnavas. Now, what is a Vaishnava? My question answers in just a, I just want a phrase, no, nothing long. What is a Vaishnava? A little louder. You mean someone who is a servant of a Vaishnava? Not quite. I want to know what's a Vaishnava, because it doesn't tell me what the, you're saying he's a servant of a servant of what I'm trying to ask, what the question is. So what's a Vaishnava? It's a definition that Shastra gives, something more in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line. What's a Vaishnava? Yes. What you're telling me, a Vaishnava is a Vaishnava. I want to know who a Vaishnava is. What's it? Huh?
When you chant.
Yes. Chants what? There's a lot of things to chant. Yes. Someone who chants the Lord's names is a Vaishnava. Now, there are different ways of chanting the Lord's name. So, what's the bottom of the ladder? Nama Prad. And then? Nama Bas. And then? And then? Premanam. So by pure chanting you get prema. Okay, so therefore we also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, are also sort of qualified. Generally that Nama Parad and Nama Bas, he called them as shadows of a Vaishnava. So it's a Vaishnava Bas. Someone's still a shadow of a Vaishnava. I don't know what it's like to be a shadow. I guess I do, if I'm chanting Nama Bas or Nama Parad. That that's what it's like to be a shadow, at least from the spiritual perspective. But the real Vaishnava is, yes, someone who chants without offense, someone who actually chants the pure name of the Lord, whose heart has become really purified. And that person very quickly will come to the stage of chanting with love. So yes, this is our definition of a Vaishnava, someone who's chanting. And when the residents of Kulinagram, when they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Rath Yatra, they used to come on a regular basis, and they had these series of questions. Who is a Vaishnava? And Lord Chaitanya's first answer was, Yes, chanted the holy name once. Okay, second time they asked, who is a Vaishnava? Ladies? What was the second time? Okay, gentlemen.
One who chants
constantly. One is constantly chanting. And then the third time? Yes, just by being in others' presence, just by others seeing him, they begin to chant Hare Krishna. So these are the Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. But there are different ways in which Vaishnavas are sort of categorized. But all Vaishnavas are wonderful. And all Vaishnavas are become very famous. We know that, for instance, our Krishna conscious movement, I mean, as soon as devotees appeared on Oxford Street dressed as they were dressed, they became very famous. People didn't know what they were doing, what it was all about, but everyone was very curious just by the way devotees were dressed, and they were very enthusiastic about something, and sometimes they didn't even know what they were enthusiastic about. But by contact with the holy name of the Lord, they really had effect. And now here in the UK, and the next thing you know, they were on television, they were flying to Europe, they were flying to Amsterdam and so on, and Srila Prabhupada was with them. They became very famous, and the Hare Krishna mantra, Govindam, became one of the... How far did it get in the charts? Top of the... Do we know how far it got in the charts? Number one? Really, it got up to number one. There you go. So, I mean, if you're measuring fame in the world today, where you are on the charts is the real measure of fame. So devotees became immediately famous. And not just here in this world, but in heavenly planets, other places, Vaishnavas really enjoy fame, especially what was described in one of these verses. And that was that... A great Mahabhagavata is a very rare person. So a personality like Srila Prabhupada, whose presence just inspires people to chant Hare Krishna, and has such an influence on the people they meet, and has... I'm going to tell you a story. I put it on the podcast, but it was it's such a wonderful story. I just not long ago in September, I went to Bucharest, which is the capital of Romania, and it's just adjacent to Hungary. Most of it was part of Hungary at some time in the past, but there, for the last 5 years. A devotee Radha Govinda and his good wife, they were preaching. They went there all alone. And he's my disciple. He's an extremely learned scholar. And over the last couple of years, we jumped through all the hoops of ISKCON administration, and he was allowed to become an initiating guru. So this, I went there. This was going to be his first initiation, initiating 12 devotees. I wasn't initiating anybody. I just went to see what he was doing. And anyway, he one of the devotees that he initiated, a lady, who I used to go regularly. Now I don't go that regularly. Now our GBC, Radha Krishna, goes. But I knew her from when we first went. So anyway, Radha Krishna told this story that this woman and her husband, they were spiritually inclined. They were looking and so on. They knew zero, nothing about Krishna consciousness. Meanwhile, Radha Govinda, he was getting very, very discouraged because he wasn't getting any feedback. People weren't coming. He was just there alone. Devotees, just like here, went to Tikshu Prabhu, went off to Liverpool and Krishna Dharma, to Manchester, and to Newcastle was Bhakti Ras. So they know how difficult it is that you want to start preaching. And then especially here in the UK, you make devotees, and everyone wants to come down to the manor. Because, you know, lots of devotees, a lot of things going on, a lot of opportunities, you're just there by yourself. Anyhow, so he became very discouraged, and he started to think, well, maybe I should go back to Moldavia, which is another little country just nearby, which was where he came from, and there's temples and lots of devotees, and he was very much appreciated. So he was going to leave. This is a big city. It's like, you know, 2.5 million people. Never been any preaching there. It's amazing that, you know, after 50 years of Krishna consciousness in Europe, there was nobody really even tried preaching over there. So he was going to leave. And this lady had a dream. And in her dream, this elderly man dressed in saffron robes came to her and said, "You're going to meet some spiritual people. I want you to help them." So she woke up. She hadn't the faintest idea. She'd never seen anybody dressed like this. She didn't know who the spiritual people were or what she was supposed to do. Anyway, soon enough, she bumped into Radha Govinda. They started going to the, or they went to the program, or they went to the program, and when they went to the program, then there was a picture of Srila Prabhupada. And as soon as she saw the picture of Prabhupada, she said, "That's him. He's the one who told me to help." So she said, "Okay, I'll take 20 beads. I'll take all the books." So she just like bought everything and then started giving it out to her friends and so on. So isn't it amazing that Srila Prabhupada, I mean, that the Prabhupada appears to devotees is one thing, but Prabhupada's appearing to a non-devotee, telling them that they're going to, in order to encourage and have give some support to devotees who are preaching there on his behalf. So he's appearing to a non-devotee and telling them, you know, I want, you know, someone comes to you in a dream and says, "I want you to help them." It doesn't even know who you're supposed to help. So that was a really wonderful experience of how a Mahabhagavata, after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, and now we're talking about 45 years, we're going to go to 46 years, Srila Prabhupada is still here. He's, especially where devotees are preaching Prabhupada and taking risks on his behalf, he's watching, he's making arrangements for things to move on. Those Vaishnavas are very special. Maha Bhagavata. general devotee is known as a Bhagavata. And here's someone who is a Mahabhagavata. So part of our real mission in our Krishna consciousness movement is to really make Srila Prabhupada famous. I say that because there are so many famous people in the world, and what are they famous for? As Srila Prabhupada says, they're famous because they're rich. So we got the founder of Amazon. We got they're famous because they make cars. They're famous because they're politicians. They're famous because, who knows, they, you know, ruin their country economically. They're famous for so many things. In other words, actually really infamous. That's a different way of saying it. They're infamous. But still, everyone knows them. And then, of course, you've got your musicians and actors. And nowadays, then, of course, it's all the media stars, people who are on Facebook and the, what are they called? The people who inspire you to buy things? Influencers. Influencers. We are influencers. We're also trying to influence people. We're trying to get them to buy Bhagavad Gita. We're trying to get them to chant Hare Krishna. So, yes, others are influencing people to go to hell. And, dress nicely when you go to hell. So make sure you got your makeup on the way down. So these are really a lot of the things which most influencers are contributing to. But we're also influencers, but we want to influence people to recognize who is really a famous person, who's really done something good. So, of course, in the world that we live in, people have different ideas of what is good and what is bad. But, of course, real good and the real welfare work is to make somebody a devotee of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada sacrificed his life, traveled all over the world, wrote all these books, established these temples so that there would be a foundation where from we could actually help others and get save people from really going to hell, because we were also in that situation, and we want other people to follow this particular path. And the person who's most responsible for that is Srila Prabhupada. And of course, we want Krishna to be famous, and we want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be famous. But if we're talking about, you know, people, human beings, then we want Srila Prabhupada to be recognized. Not just because we want to compete with other people who are famous, but the fame, as I mentioned, is actually really infamy. So as long as people don't really know what is right, what is good, what you can do, they'll never recognize those people who are good people. You can say the devil is also quite famous, but who wants to follow the devil? Although they're doing a pretty good job at doing that. So, but they still don't know really what to do and what not to do. That is the nature of a demon, a demoniac person, or someone under the demoniac influences. So being such a extraordinary, empowered person who's done so much good for the world, it will come. Srila Prabhupada said that sometime in the future, historians will note that this was the sort of the turning point where the Krishna consciousness movement saved the world. Well, if you're online and you watch the news, you must recognize the fact that we are not saving the world at the present time. But we have all the ingredients to save the world and the world's billions and billions of population. And when they recognize the Krishna consciousness movement, they will also recognize Srila Prabhupada, and they will also recognize who is this God that everybody's talking about. Because everybody's talking about God, 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 God. but no one knows who God is. So then at least they'll also identify with Krishna. So fame of the Vaishnava, of course Vaishnavas don't want to be famous, but nonetheless Krishna wants his devotees to be recognized, because by recognizing who a famous devotee is, by recognizing a great devotee, people will become inspired. Now, I have forgotten. There is part of Vaishnava sadhana is, I've forgotten the name of that activity, is to hear about great devotees and famous devotees. You know, we have this book by Shitala Devi on Narottam Das Thakur. We've got different books about Vaishnavas. There are traditional Vaishnava literatures which talk about the history of great devotees, Srinivasacharya, and so on. So part of devotee sadhana is to read. Who's read about some other devotees? Ramanujacharya, Narottam Das Thakur. Have you read? Yeah, devotees. Isn't it a very... A lot of hands on a man's side, and nobody on the lady's side. Isn't it a very inspiring that when you read about devotees, you become so inspired? Yes, it's possible. And you read about what they've done. Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of stories about Vaishnava, Swarganath, Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sanatan, Rupa, and others. So it's especially when you read a full biography, just like when we have Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada Lilamrita, we've got a lot of biographies of Prabhupada, or we have a lot of interaction between devotees and Srila Prabhupada. Shamsundar Prabhu's got multi-volume. It's a real wealth. You can really get to know Prabhupada, because it's very important to actually know his divine grace. And that means we have to know what Srila Prabhupada also wanted, and then obviously we should be following what Srila Prabhupada wanted. So Krishna wants devotees to be recognized because it's part of the process of other people becoming Krishna conscious. We should be doing that. And these great devotees are extremely rare. It's very rare that you actually come in contact with someone. When in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, when Parikshit Maharaj takes birth, there's that chapter. So the astrologers look into the stars and they tell the future. And they say that Parikshit Maharaj is going to be Mahabhagavato Mahan. So not only is he a Mahabhagavat, but amongst Mahabhagavatas, he is Mahan. He's a great, great Bhagavata. So he's an extraordinary Vaishnava. And then even by Krishna's arrangement, we see that this extraordinary Vaishnava became influenced by Kali and left this world in the way that he did. He was the person to whom Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, and he was, of course, the person who was qualified to answer all the right questions, to ask all the right questions. Shukadeva Goswami is answering. So it's a very, very rare. He's become very famous. It's just like Arjuna is famous because he's in the Bhagavad Gita. Whenever you talk about Bhagavad Gita, you talk about Arjuna. Whenever you talk about Srimad Bhagavatam, there is Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami. So that is what's really valued. A Vaishnav is a valued person, and the more a Vaishnav surrenders and advances in the hierarchy of being Kanishta, Madhyam, Uttam, and there are subdivisions in all of those, the more his influence spreads. And when your influence spreads, then one becomes famous. Madhavendra Puri became very famous because everyone recognized he must be a great devotee if Shri Chor Gopinath is going to steal from him. And he recognized that. He knew that. He was in the... He got the kheer, and the pujari came and brought him the kheer. So he was in the marketplace at night and realized, by morning time, this news is going to spread. He didn't want to be the subject of glorification, so he left. But Chaitanya Charitamrita says that the fame of a devotee not only didn't follow him, it preceded him. It already went way ahead of him. By the time he went to Puri, everyone recognized who a great devotee is. And ultimately, you can't hide your colors when great devotee comes before deities of the Lord, the way they dance, the way they chant, the ecstatic symptoms that they show, then one can recognize how one is situated in Krishna consciousness. Because they have yatraya lakshanam proktam. Because they have their lakshana. They have their... You judge a thing according to its qualities or its qualification. So here we go. And that was very long. And after this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to ask, out of many capitalists, who possesses the greatest riches? Things become sort of repetitive and very, very understandable as we go along, that Lord Chaitanya is emphasizing devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna and devotees and Vaishnavas. They are the real valuable thing of the earth. Some Shastra, they call it, they are the, oh yes, it's in Padyavali, that Vaishnavas are like the real gems of the earth. So different gems shine with different splendor. Our business is not to want to shine because we want recognition, but we want to be able to glorify Krishna, chant Krishna's name with the kind of purity that really addresses him and pleases him. And that's why, no matter how, the more advanced Vaishnavas become, the more they become humble. They stay away from any type of recognition. They really don't like it. It's not the not the position of a devotee to be recognized, to be worshipped. Srila Prabhupada on many occasions pointed out Vaishnavas don't like to be a position of being a spiritual master or being someone in a position of authority. It's not a natural situation for a devotee. A devotee just likes to be Trinadapi Sunichena Taruri Vasushi. One likes to be nothing. And just to simply practice and serve Krishna. He doesn't want any form of recognition. But this is the dynamic. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted this to be known. So the best thing, what's the best thing to do? Well, the best thing to do is to become a devotee, who then is the most recognized and appreciated person of the world. We just stop there. And devotees have any brief questions? After that, I'm going to go out there. We have a new book that we've come with. If some devotees are interested, then they can come and take a look. You have a question? Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Don't know if this is working. It's a question in relation to what you were speaking about on Friday at the Mahasangha. On the Mahasangha on Friday, you were talking about following in the footsteps of eternal residence. And I was just trying to understand that how would someone who's practicing sadhana bhakti, say like a neophyte, would they, how would they select someone to follow?
Neophytes. just follow the rules and regulations. They follow Prabhupada, the spiritual master.
So does that mean when one is a madhya, that's when they are starting to follow
one? I mean, it's not really relevant to our class now, but when one has qualification, everything is based upon qualification, and it's something that is one should one recognizes himself, and especially by one's spiritual master. It's Tishtan Tarudad Angami Jananugami Khalid Nayam Iti Upadesha Saram. This is the Upadesha Saram. This is the essence of all knowledge. So that one should chant Hare Krishna purely, one should live in Vrindavan, and one should follow a resident, eternal resident of Vrindavan, and one's spiritual practices and hear about them. So that's verse 8 of Upadeshamrita. And then after that, Rupa Goswami really talks about what they do, what the advanced devotees do. But let's have a question about our class today. There's a gentleman behind you. Maybe you can pass the microphone to him.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. The phenomena that a devotee gets famous, now how does that go with the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying that I don't want fame, I don't want followers? So you're naturally going to become famous because you're going to be recognized. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says we don't want that. So isn't that are these not two different qualities which come with devotion?
No, one is that a devotee doesn't want it, but for Krishna's service, he accepts it. So, you know, for five years, I've been doing these little videos, vlogs they're called. And so, especially in Hungary, it's rare that, you know, I step outside the temple and someone doesn't come and say, I know you. It has a very good effect. We make devotees, people become initiated devotees. It serves Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, but yes, it's not. It always feels, I'll feel uncomfortable. Because of this, that Vaishnavas have a natural humility. And part of being humble is that they don't want to be glorified by others. And, you know, being recognized, being famous means that's what happens. But for Krishna's service, we do that. Lord Chaitanya says, Bahu Shishya Na Karibi, that you shouldn't accept many disciples. On the other hand, Prabhupada says, you know, devotees can accept as many disciples as he can manage. And so how does that go? Well, for preaching, you can do that. If you're not preaching, and if there's a necessity for that, then... So some time ago, Prabhupada told or mentioned to Jayapataka Maharaj and Bhavananda Prabhu that they should accept 50,000 disciples each. So Jayapataka Maharaj is getting close. But that's a lot. That's a lot. Just imagine having a family. 50. Can you remember 50,000 people's names? Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
You had a. Oh, here's the microphone.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, again, for your class. I'd like to ask. Actually, I have two questions. Hope there's time. One is that you said the difference, you know, what, so what is the difference between the fame that a Vaishnava begets, even though they don't want it, versus the fame that someone seeks and gets? Because you also mentioned that, you know, even Lakshmi or the Mahadev don't understand the prema bhakti that devotees have. And we know that they can, you know, they are the giver of such boons sometimes that people get famous or very powerful on earth in this material sense. So what is this distinction, you know, and how does it affect the world and ourselves at large?
You know who Cary Grant is?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're supposed to say no.
What? Okay, I don't. Who's that?
Anyway, for those of you who don't know, he was an actor. And actually, he was English. But my point was that he was very famous. But now, well, you see, you didn't know who he was. So people nowadays, the fame goes. The fame just really goes. Just see now, for instance, the British Empire spread all over the world. And the people who spread it were famous. Now, as it turns out, at the cost of that fame means that the throne and history has to start actually reviewing and recognizing that these people were, because how did the empire become an empire? Through slavery, through just usurping the wealth and the resources of other countries. British systematically allowed millions and millions of Indians to starve to death. Supposedly, Mr. Churchill didn't care. So, very famous, but later on, the fame, according to the vision of people, changes, and now actually it just seems that they were exploiters, and just like I keep looking at that Kohinoor diamond in the crown, and I just can't understand for the life of me why the Indian community isn't rising up and asking to get it back. They stole it, so... So, yes, there are some movements on it, but you know what's happening. So all of these things, everything's so magnificent, everything's so famous, but then it turns. So either people forget somebody, or it turns out that actually that fame was based on, it must be based on something mundane, material, which means people suffering. But when it comes to Vaishnavas, they're only doing good, and therefore their fame remains. We still know Rupa Goswami, we still know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're going back hundreds of years, we go back thousands of years, and the Vaishnavas are still recognized as wonderful, extraordinary personalities. It isn't that they've become, now I'm talking about the Mahabhagavatas, the great devotees, that there was anything bad about them. So, yes, material fame is flickering. It's temporary. That means flickering. And generally, it has so many other add-on factors that start to drain it away into nothing. Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Ladies, since we got the microphone over there, there's somebody going towards the back. I can't see them, I just see the hand. And then that'll be the last.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
All obeisance to your lotus feet.
Hare Krishna.
Just a question about Vaishnava.
What an embarrassing thing to do, isn't it?
You mentioned about Vaishnava and... how Vaishnava is a good Vaishnava when they are chanting. And then you mentioned the four steps, or the steps, starting with Nama Brahma. If someone is very early in their spiritual journey through KC, where would they find this? Where would these steps be?
Where would the steps be?
In terms of books, or where could they read these steps?
Where can you read about this?
Yeah.
Well, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, so it's all there. If you Bhagavatam isn't a systematic, but obviously everything is also there, and especially with commentaries and explanations. Prabhupada described this many, many times. Then, of course, the Kanishtha Uttam Adhikari and our Acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in many of his books, describes these. So this is sort of the standard process of evolution in Krishna consciousness. And we want to know that because it's the same mantra, and it's very easy to just, 16 words, there's actually three words in this format, 16-word format, but there's such an extraordinary science to it that, and we need to be progressing. So Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yogi Prayojita. So Prabhupada in the purport says, you judge your advancement by how you become free from material attachment and how you become attached to Krishna. So these are the two measures that we're going forward. So as we're chanting, the chanting will purify our heart. If we're chanting properly and we're not chanting offensively, then we should be experiencing that. If we're chanting offensively, then we're really in for a long haul. Bahu janma koti. So it may take many, many lifetimes. And for that reason, we have to be very attentive. And once you get to that offenseless stage, then there are still anartas. Once those anartas become fully purified, then you get to the pure stage of chanting. Then at that pure stage of chanting, then devotional service, there's no obstructions, nothing gets in the way. Offensive chanting, you're in the way. Namabhas means your karma's in the way. But when you're chanting purely, then there's nothing in the way. And the effect or the benefits of chanting Hare Krishna really manifest with the different symptoms that you'll read about in Nectar of Devotion. And that's what devotees should be experiencing. So we shouldn't equate sadhakas with Kanishtha adhikaris, or that devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, they can't be neophytes. It's not possible. I mean, it's possible. If you're offensive, then you stay a neophyte. But if you're properly chanting Krishna consciousness, everyone should be nicely advancing, systematically advancing, and moving forward. And you should be able to judge it, because they have these sort of self-assessment tests. Well, this is also self-assessment. And, of course, other devotees who know you well, they'll also be able to help you make that assessment. So we need to be able to assess ourselves. And the instruments which we use are Srila Prabhupada's teachings. So, we need to be moving on. Okay, thank you all very much. Very kind of you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Shivada Gokulananda ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare 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 Gaur. Hare Krishna.